if we care about our economy, if we care about bringing jobs to Utah, if we care about strong workforce, education is the place we make the investment.
Education inspires upward mobility, fosters innovation, and opens doors to countless future opportunities. Here in Utah, public education remains a key priority for the legislature. This legislative session, we have made record-breaking investments in our public education system to ensure that our classrooms remain a place of safety and learning, that our teachers have the support they need to educate our students, and that each child has the opportunity to learn in a way that best fits his or her individual needs. Here today to discuss this year's education policy priorities is Representative Karen Peterson. Representative Peterson, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Representative, we'd love to talk with you just a little bit about the education policies that the state legislature has pursued over the last 45 days. Specifically, would love to get your take as somebody that has really been involved in the education area for a while. Can you first tell everybody what exactly is it that has brought you into the education policymaking area and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, I had an opportunity for 5 years to serve as the education advisor for Governor Herbert. And I kind of came at that role in a different way because my background is actually in policy. Governor Herbert had me work with our locally elected officials. He had me work with parent groups and teachers. He had me work with higher education. And that experience really taught me about how state policy can impact classrooms. We have to make sure that our policies translate to make our classrooms better places. And so that background kind of gives me the opportunity to say, what is the state policy and how will it really look at the classroom level? How can we impact students? How can we support families? So that background really has helped me in the legislature as there's so many bills that impact education.
So as somebody that really does look at how these policies affect the classrooms and the classroom environment, can you talk a little bit about what the current state of Utah's education system actually is? We do hear a lot about the negatives, about the ways that we can improve it as a state, but we would like to hear your take on what exactly is going well in the state, and then what are those areas that we can improve?
Utah is blessed with phenomenal families and phenomenal teachers. And because of that, we have a phenomenal education system. I think the last couple of years have been a challenge for our education system as they have evolved. They've had to pivot through the pandemic. They've had to think about personalized learning in a whole new way. And they've really risen to the challenge. I also think that our schools just provide these community centers that people in our state value and appreciate. I have 3 children. They all went to public school. And I have so appreciated the different educational experience each of them have had because they're different kids. My oldest wanted to just frankly get in and get out and get on with his life. And that's what he did. And that worked for him. My daughter, on the other hand, is involved in everything. She runs track. She's in the school play. All of those things and opportunities that she's having to take concurrent enrollment courses and AP classes, preparing her really for the future. And she's taken advantage of all those opportunities. And then my youngest son is on an IEP. He receives special education services. And so his experience with public schools has been completely different than his siblings. And I don't think that my experience is unique as a parent with kids in public education. Public education leaders and educators are incredible professionals who can take the needs of my students and the students in the system and say, how can we meet them where they are? And how can we make these classes and our schools work for them? So I think that's an incredible advantage we have here in Utah. Talented teachers and really engaged families that make a big difference.
And do we see that different in Utah versus a lot of other states? How exactly do we compare at a national level?
One interesting thing to note is after the pandemic, we had our NAEP testing again, which is national testing, 4th graders and 8th graders across our nation. And when you look at Utah scores, we were the only states in the nation that stayed flat. Our students didn't lose academically like so many other states did. And I think that's a testament to our families and our teachers.
That kind of gets at what my next question was, is why exactly do we see that difference? So what is it about the Utah education system that does seem fundamentally different from a lot of even our neighboring states and states throughout the country?
Our state, about 90% of parents choose public schools. They might choose charter schools. They might choose their neighborhood school. But I think that because of that, we just really are invested in our kids. And I think that's a value that Utahns have, is belief that their children are assets and that families are an asset. And so we not only spend our time there, but we do put a lot of our taxing effort towards our schools and our education system.
And so when thinking about all the different systems within Utah's public education system, what are some of those areas in which we as a state can improve and improve those outcomes for the teachers and for students, as well as improve those environments in the classrooms.
So I think that one of our greatest assets within our school system, as I mentioned, is our teachers. And right now, our teachers are feeling tired. We've asked a lot of them the last 3 to 4 years, and they feel tired. They also feel like sometimes we've handcuffed their ability to do their job. They want to be successful. They want to be able to serve the students that are in their classrooms. They want to work with the families. But sometimes we've put a lot of regulations on them. And I think that's something we could do better. So in our state also, almost half of our teachers leave in the first 5 years. They don't stay. And there might be some legitimate reasons for that. For example, if someone has 2 children and now they want to stay home, I think we also want to be supportive of people making those choices. But I am concerned that we have that high turnover with our educators, and we have to spend more of our time and efforts thinking about how we recruit and retain educators in our education system. Because when you talk about within the school environment, what's the number one factor in student success? It is the teacher in the classroom and their professionalism, their competency, their ability to teach the material, to deliver it in a way that works for multiple students at different places, control the classroom in a way that every student can learn and feel safe and secure. We have got to continue to work on how we support our educators in the system.
So what is the state legislature doing right now to support teachers, both to provide them the resources that they need, as well as to make things a little easier so that we start to see higher retention rates throughout the state?
So this year, we tackled a couple of issues that we heard from teachers. So probably the 2 biggest concerns I've heard from teachers this last year is, number one, they're concerned about where the students are academically. They were impacted by the pandemic. So this year, the legislature is proposing a 6% WPU increase, which is substantial. And that money is what drives what happens in our classrooms. It's the money our school districts can use for their expenses and to meet inflationary costs that they're all experiencing. So that's the first thing. And the second thing that I've heard a lot about is behaviors that they're seeing now, that they're seeing behaviors now that they haven't seen previously in our classroom. So the legislature has kind of 2 pieces of legislation that kind of are responsive to that behaviors. There's one related to juvenile justice. There was a concern that as we thought about how do we help our students with their behaviors, that we don't want to have the penalty so severe that we impact them for the rest of their lives. There has to be some sort of balance in students being able to have consequences for certain actions so that schools can have learning environments that work for everyone. The second thing I wanted to talk about is, so I ran a piece of legislation this year related to helping school counselors, school psychologists, school nurses, ensuring that we can have more of them. I passed legislation that was funded $7 million that will fund Grow Your Own, which is schools identify people within their school community that might be serving as paraprofessionals or might be volunteers or people that they're familiar within their school community and say, how can we get you to become a licensed teacher or a licensed school counselor? Carrying adults in the building is one of the best ways we can help with challenges with students' behavior. That bill has gone through. It's funded. So that will provide the opportunity for schools to continue to send parents or other volunteers through that program. Additionally, I worked on a piece of legislation this year that will free up some of our state money that's been sitting there that because LEAs can't use it, our school districts can't use all of it because they can't find enough school counselors. This money is very specific to that use, so it expands the uses so we can hire behavioral health specialists in our schools with that existing funding. And that came at the request of our teachers and our school counselors who said, we need some of these trained professionals to work on specific behaviors and to help divert students that are having extreme behaviors that are disruptive. Can we have these kind of professionals and can we use the state money to do that? So that bill will pass this session as well.
Now, one of the other issues that we hear a lot about from members of the public is how parents are involved in their children's education. There seems to have been a lot of concern, especially over the last several years, about how we can make sure that parents and teachers are working together in order to ensure the best quality education for their children. How exactly are parents being better involved in their child's education? What efforts are the legislature making right now to ensure that that happens?
So, of course, we can't legislate parental involvement, but we can do is provide support to parents and resources to parents so that they can feel empowered to be engaged in their students' education. So another piece of legislation I worked on this session, House Bill 249, will create a parent portal. And it does 3 really specific things. The first thing it does is it provides parents an opportunity to add an optional record on their student's cumulative folder. This is if your student has had incidences at school or you have a special concern for your student and you want to make sure everyone in the school community knows about that. Especially as your student moves maybe from junior high to high school or elementary school to junior high, where you can provide information about your student that will create a capability within the system for parents to do that at the registration of their children. Second, it'll create a resource called the Parent Portal, and every parent in the state will be notified that it exists at least once a year. And the Parent Portal will have a list of resources for parents so they know their rights within the education system. But second, our education system has created a number of options and accommodations that parents can request on behalf of their student, but they don't always know that those exist. So this will also have an opportunity for parents to be able to look at those resources to think about what works best for their child. And then the third thing is it funds someone within the State Board of Education that can help connect people to the right person when they do encounter an issue. So if you encountered an issue and you feel like you don't know how to navigate that issue, you don't know the right people to talk to, then you could reach out to this person at the state who will get you then to the right person within your school district or your school to help solve the issue that you're facing. I feel like we need to be both proactive in our approach with parents by pushing out information so they can make informed decisions about their students, but then also have those options when we have to be a little reactive because an issue has occurred. So this bill tries to accomplish both of those things and tries to just really get parents the resources that they need so that they can feel empowered in helping their student be successful in school.
Now, Representative, as somebody that has worked in the education policy area for a while now, is there anything in particular that you would like to communicate to both teachers and parents out there throughout the state that you feel they should know coming from the state legislature?
I think that a lot of times educators this session have felt tired as they've seen different bills come out. And I hope that they understand that members of the legislature are trying to be responsive to their constituents. But I do think that overwhelmingly, we are supportive of our public education system. And I think the proof is in the pudding. I always say, you know what an organization values by looking at their budget. And when you look at the legislature's budget this year and you see the things that we have chosen to fund, a 6% increase in the WPU, we're increasing funding for at-risk students in a way that's flexible to school districts. You think about students who are behind academically. This will get extra resources to them. You think about our English language learners or our students who are homeless. We're putting money aside specifically for those students because we know our schools need those additional resources to help them, but also that our students themselves need them. And we've also funded optional full-day kindergarten, which is something that the education community has been asking for a long time, and parents have been asking for a long time. So I would say sometimes in the sausage making, there are some bumps in the road and there are some feelings of concern and there is some discouragement. But I always say, look at the product, look at the end, look at what bills really passed, not what bills were proposed, but what bills passed and how we have prioritized education within the budget. And I hope people understand that by and large, the state legislature supports our schools. They support our teachers. They support our parents. They want opportunities for kids. And we know if we care about our economy, if we care about bringing jobs to Utah, if we care about strong workforce, education is the place we make the investment. Our students are our biggest asset as a state.
Now, Representative, you mentioned that teachers are feeling tired and worn out. And what sorts of actions has the legislature taken to really show the value of our educators and our education system in the state?
So this year, we passed legislation that will increase the educator salary adjustment. It will be $4,200 in teachers' pockets and additional money for benefits. So that's $6,000 for teachers. That's a significant increase for teachers. In addition to that, there's legislation that will be passing that indexes that for inflation. So teachers won't get behind. So it won't be that we gave them a bump this year, but 5 years from now, that bump with inflationary costs are not going to be continue to be realized. So that's also a very large financial commitment to this day and an acknowledgement of the work of our teachers in the classroom. And we are committed to them.
Representative, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.